Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm your host, Dave Woodward, and this is kind of a weird episode. Actually, I was driving the other day with my son, Parker, and we were talking about some of the travels and everything else that's been going on. He's like, man, Dad, you ought to just share with people some of the stuff that you learn while you're out on the road. And literally like 10, 15 minutes later, I received an email from Julie Hood, who was listening to the podcast and was kind enough to basically write in to, you know, tell me she appreciated the show and all that. And one thing she was talking about was the same thing. And that is, gosh, Dave, you go out, you meet with so many different people and you're traveling around. Why don't you share more of the things that you're running into? Some of the people you're hearing, all that kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, it would be wrong of me not to at least share with you guys some of the opportunities and the things that I learn by literally having the opportunity to associate with, for me, who are some of the literally the greatest marketers in the entire universe. So I thought, you know what, I was at Genius Network at the beginning of November 2017, and I had the opportunity of taking a ton of notes and everything else, and I thought, you know what, I'll literally just kind of flip through my journal here and let you kind of look into my journal and see some of the things and some of the quotes and things that I wrote down. And hopefully it's going to be of use to you as you take a look at 2018, all the crazy stuff that's going on. So first of all, if you're not familiar with Genius Network is ran by Joe Polish, a dear friend of mine. And the guy is just an amazing marketer. He's been around for a long time. Started off in the carpet cleaning business. Huge, huge history. Definitely take a look at it. But what he's done right now is created this group where basically it costs you $25,000 a year to belong to it. I think it's $10,000 or $15,000 to go to the two-day annual event, where they have 200, 300 marketing minds from all sorts of different industries. It's one of the reasons I really kind of like it. The part I enjoyed the most this year, actually, had another good buddy of mine, JP Sears, was there, actually became the MC. And so the banter between the two of them was hilarious. It brought a ton of energy, excitement to the audience. Most importantly, though, was this year, unlike some of the other years, to me at least, the value that was created inside of that room was really, really amazing. And I thought, I need to at least share with you guys some of the things so you can kind of sit there on my desk basically with me and kind of dive in and hear some of the things that were said as I share with you some of the things that I took notes on. So with all that said, let me just dive right into this. First of all, when Joe starts off Genius Network on his annual event, one of the things he loves is goes through a ton of just one-liners and quotes and all that kind of stuff. I wrote down a few I thought was kind of cool and fun, so I'll share those with you first. One of the things I wrote was, life is easy when you live it the hard way, and it's hard when you try to live it the easy way. It's a Keach Credo's quote. So again, life is easy when you live it the hard way, and hard when you live it the easy way. And I was talking to a buddy of mine about that just the other day, where so often people are always trying to look for the easy way out. And every time you try to look for the easy way out, life just gets hard. If you'll just put in the work and do what it takes, you're going to find that actually life gets easier, but you have to pay the price. The second thing is, you can't read the label of the jar that you're in. And I thought it was kind of funny. It actually was a cool little picture I wish I could share with you guys. But so often we don't understand the problems that we're really dealing with because you don't know the jar that you're actually in. And I think it's important as you take a look at this year, as you reflect back on last year, what were some of the problems and things you ran across? What was the label that you were really dealing with? And how are you going to fix that so you don't have to repeat that, so you can get out of that jar and into a new one? The last one here that he's talked about is, focus is something that you do, not something that you have. And the reason I really like this is we spent a lot of time talking about the importance of focus. And you have to understand that a lot of people will focus on how to do something themselves. To me, that's like linear progression. It's like step after step after step after step. The other focus that's more of an exponential type of focus, especially as an entrepreneur that you really need to pay attention to, is the focus on how can you do something, or how basically focus on who can do something for you. And this is one of the things I've seen recently here at ClickFunnels that Russell's just been amazing at. And that is trying to find ways of getting other people to do more of the stuff that he doesn't have to do. It's not his unique skill set. It's not his superpower. So often as entrepreneurs, when we get started in business and life and everything else, we get so focused on thinking, I'm the only person who can do it, or I'm the only person who can do it as good as I know it needs to be done. Realize that it typically doesn't need to be done as good as you think it does. And second of all, there might be someone who's actually even better at it than you, and it's not something that you enjoy. So this year, as you take a look at it, don't focus on on linear type of focus as far as how to do something yourself. Focus on who could you find to do something for you. And for me, it's been a huge, huge relief. I get real busy during the day, and one of the things I hate having to do is worrying about eating. It drives my wife crazy because I just don't care. But for me, one of the best things is I actually had my son Parker help me find a cook for Russell and I. And it's the greatest thing in the world where they literally bring food in. It's already here. They bring it in every single day, and I've got it basically for my meals are done. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about that. So I can focus on other types of things. So as you take a look at your life, look at the things that you can basically get exponential returns on. You're really trying to find a way of maximizing your time. Let me kind of just dive into some of these other notes here. Jason Flavin, a dear friend of mine, we've done webinars with him in the past. He's come out with his Genius webinars. One of the things he talked about was the importance of testimonials. Now, obviously, anybody who's done any marketing understands how important testimonials are. He took it another step further, and he said the hard part for a lot of entrepreneurs is, and people, especially on webinars, is they save their testimonials to the end. What Jason actually started off with was his testimonials in the beginning and found testimonials that he actually used to overcome objections. And what he really said is what he tries to find is his very best testimonials, and he tries to find a way of using those testimonials at least three times throughout a webinar. And it's not the exact same testimonial. Typically, it's that person, but it's three different parts of it. So it may be the person who, and they tell you almost this, well, this is the first part of their testimonial is where they were and then how they got through it and then how their life is now. And so you're actually using that person, so you're weaving them into the story of your webinar. He's done a great job with that. The other thing was the importance of content. And one of the things he talked about was you need to present things, especially in a webinar setting, to people more on a roadmap. So you say, you know what, you don't want to have less than three steps and you don't want to have more than five. But by telling people, okay, this is the third step or the fourth step or the fifth step, they're able to chronologically pay attention to it. The other thing that it does is it sets up open loops where they know they need to get five things. So as you take a look at your content, the whole idea there is to make sure that you're doing it in a way that really ties them in and engages them. Obviously, Russell's done an amazing job on his Perfect Webinar script. If you don't have that, by all means, go to perfectwebinar.com and get it. But I just want to make sure that you understand the importance of using testimonials as well as the content. The other thing he talked about was the importance of getting 150 yeses before you sell them anything. Now, if you followed Expert Secrets book, you see in there all the different opportunities as far as closes that you're setting people up to get those yeses. But one of the things that Jason said I really liked, and that is make sure that you get a transcription of the webinar and see how many yeses you actually get before you actually get to that close. So look to try to get 150 yeses in. I thought it was a really cool idea. Ben Hardy's a great guy. If you haven't followed Ben, he's actually a ClickFunnels user. He's been crushing it on Medium. That's all I'm going to tell you right now. It's a topic I'm probably trying to get him on a future podcast for. But again, just a guy who's killing it out there. One of the things, Randi Zuckerberg was there. She's Mark Zuckerberg's sister. And she actually was the creator of Facebook Live. She's now since left Facebook and is doing her own thing. But it was fascinating hearing from her some of the different things that she went through. And I thought what was really kind of cool about the whole idea was, you know, people were asking her a bunch of different questions. And one of the questions they asked her about was work-life balance. And her whole thing is that there's no way in the world to truly have a balanced work life. It just doesn't happen. And if you think it's going to, you set yourself up for failure and frustration, everything else. So her secret or her tip basically was that there's five things that she has basically needs to balance. She has to balance her work, her sleep, her family, her friends, and her fitness. She said, for me, I look at it and say, you know what? I can only pick three of those. And I'm only going to focus on getting three of those a day, and that's it. And by doing that, that was her way of creating balance. So maybe the three she was going to focus on would be work, family, and fitness. Well, that means she's probably not going to get as much sleep as she wanted. She's probably not going to have any contact with her friends. But that allowed her that opportunity of getting accomplished what she needed to. And then the other thing she said is to make sure that you identify, is the juice worth the squeeze? In other words, if what you're going after, is it really worth it? And that's something that's internal. You have to decide for yourself. But it was one of the things she tried to use as a guiding post for her is the juice worth the squeeze? A couple of the other things she made mention of was some business advice and then personal advice. The business advice, you know, someone basically asked, so Brandy, what business advice would you give to us as entrepreneurs? And she said, you're never as good as they say you are, and you're never as bad as they say you are. And it kind of got a laugh out of the audience, but it is really true. Some people who love you, they're going to give you all the praise in the world, and all of a sudden you think you're this amazing super person. You're probably not as great as they may think you are. At the same time, I know in my own personal life and work life, I've been amazed at times as just how mean some people can be. And just realize that you're never as bad as they say you are. The advice that she had personally, and this was kind of a funny advice. People were saying, well, what's the personal advice you'd give to us as entrepreneurs? She goes, well, if you're not throwing up at least once a month due to the stress, you're not doing enough. And I thought, I usually don't try to throw up once a month, but I got the idea behind it. And that is, you've got to, too often people don't want to put themselves out and get into stressful situations. You got to get there. You got to live on that. You got to be able to realize that there's so much more that you have to give and get uncomfortable and get used to being uncomfortable. Tony Robbins was there. Always love having Tony. He's always dropping value bombs left and right. A couple things he made mention of, and that was start doing a weekly company video and then share testimonials of clients. One thing he talked about was to go from $100 million to $1 billion. His secret there was you had to become obsessive about the ideal customer that you want. You have to know in detail exactly who that person is. What do they like? Where do they live? I mean, just he went through a whole list of different ideas. The other thing he made mention of was the fact as far as don't fall in love with your product or your service. People are not loyal to products or services, and realize the product life cycle that he's seen these days is about 4 to 6 months. The other thing he said was you need to draw a line in the sand and become an owner, not an operator. And this is one of the things we've really looked at. I've looked at my own business life many times, and that is there is such a huge difference between being a business owner and a business operator. If you're not familiar with what I'm referring to, I'm not going to take time right now. You need to research that. You really need to understand there's a massive, massive difference mentally as well as the activities that you actually take on when you go from operator to owner. And I think it's really important as you take a look at 2018 here, try to find out what are the things that you can do to become more of the business owner instead of the business operator. The last thing Tony said, which I just love, it's just pure Tony, and that is, said, you know what? A belief is a poor substitute for an experience. And I thought, man, that is such great advice. So often people have all these crazy beliefs and things, but they never actually had the experience. And he talked about his travels and being around the world and different countries and everything else. And he says, you know, people believe all these different things about different people who live in different parts of the world. He goes, you don't know what it's like until you've actually experienced it, until you've actually gone out, until you've actually traveled to that place, until you've walked in their shoes. So just realize that whatever beliefs you have, a belief is a poor substitute for an experience. So this year in 2018, try to find some ways that you can actually get more experiences in your life. I'm a huge, huge believer. My kids always joke around about with me because gifts mean nothing to me, but experiences mean the world. And in other words, I'll spend a ton of money on experiences that I wouldn't spend on a gift. And for me, I just realized, you know what? I learn so much more from an experience. It's something that I treasure and I look forward to. It's one of the reasons I get so excited every single day because I'm trying to find out what new experience can I have today versus tangible things, gifts, they come and go. The cars come and go, all that. I don't have to get on that soap opera box board. Anyways, just realize a belief's a poor substitute for an experience. And this year, try to find a way of getting more experiences. Naveen Jain was there. His whole thing was on moonshots. Again, InfoSpace, Moon Express, Viome, billionaire, running 3 different billion-dollar companies. Crazy, crazy guy. Most down-to-earth, humble guy in the world. I didn't know who I was talking to. I felt almost embarrassed, but he was just the coolest guy ever. But one of the things he was talking about is you have to fall in love with your customer and not the product, which was kind of funny because it was a couple hours or so after Tony had spoken. But it's so true. And again, they both made the same thing. That's fall in love with your customer, not your product. And if you do that, you'll find that you create the very best products. You'll create the best experiences for them. You'll have their heart and everything in mind, and you'll do what's right for them. So again, fall in love with your customer, not the product. The other thing he said is focus on the big stuff. He said, so are you guys, how many of you guys are half full versus half empty type of people? And, you know, people have all over, you know, different hands raising up. Most of everyone in the group was, you know, half full. He goes, you know what? It doesn't matter if you're half full or half empty. What matters is, do you want to fill the glass? And I thought that was really cool as far as you got to focus on the big stuff. is it doesn't matter what your thought process are about the jar you're in or the glass, whatever the mindset. Realize, is it worth filling it up? And if it is, man, overfill it. Just go all in on it. So I love that idea. A couple other things. Let's see here. That was his email. I'm not going to give you his email. Sorry. Peter Diamandis and Dan Sullivan both got up and they were talking. A lot of their stuff was really cool. They're talking about the importance of longevity and living longer. And it was just fascinating to me to see when you start associating with people whose mindsets far surpass where you currently are. And the thing is so far out of the box, it's just blows my mind because, I mean, for them, their whole thing is longevity. How old do you want to be? And I think Dan Sullivan was, you know, I don't plan on dying until I'm 147. And Naveen Jain was somewhere in the 200s. And it was interesting. He said, you know, both of them wanted to live through an entire century from as a bookend, basically. So wherever they were born on one end of the century, they want to have that same experience on the other end of another century. The other thing they talked about is when you start thinking that way, that life isn't a 80-year life cycle or 100 years, you start planning differently. You look at your finances differently. You look at people differently. You look at your experiences differently. And so it was just really a kind of cool concept. The other thing they talked about was, again, gratitude creates abundance. And if you haven't already read Peter Diamandis' book, Abundance or Bold, highly recommend it. Great books, amazing, amazing content. But the whole idea behind that was understanding how important just being appreciative is. There's emotional gratitude, and then what you'll find is as you express that type of gratitude, you provide higher value economically to others as well. It's a weird thing, but I'm just a huge believer in it. You've got to be more appreciative and express that appreciation. Let people know about it. Too often people just aren't willing to share that kind of stuff. One of the things Dan Sullivan talked about was free days and buying back time. He says, you know, buying back time for him is the most important thing. I think Dan's in his late 70s, and his whole focus right now is on how do I buy back time? In other words, doing those things that give him the greatest result and the importance then of having free days. A lot of us, you hear, you know, hustle, 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 hustle. He says, for him, the most important thing is blocking time out, where he literally blocks out, this is a free day where I'm not doing anything. This is my time, and he just totally protects it. It's a free day for him from work and everything else to do whatever in the world it is that he wants. Instead of letting other people control your time, he's like, you know what? For me, those are my free days. No one can book any time during my free day but me. The other thing was the importance of buffer days and focus days. For him, he says, you know what? There are times where you have to have a focus day where literally no one's allowed to interrupt you. You don't look at email. You don't do anything. You have got to get things done. Deadlines are approaching. It's time to focus. He says, a lot of times we get focused. We get so concerned about trying to get everything done at the same time that you don't get focused energy. And without that focused energy, you can't create the very best. So for him, he basically says, there are days that are blocked out as a free day. There's other days that are blocked out as focus days where there's no interruptions, no meetings, nothing else. I'm doing nothing else but the project that I know I need to do. But then he said the other part was the importance of having a buffer day. And he said, a lot of times people will stack 10 focus days back to back. He goes, that's just not realistic. You got to be able to put a buffer day in there. And that buffer day is a day where you basically say, you know what? I realize there's going to be a lot of stuff I got to get done. And I can't put everything off forever. So my buffer day just gives me a cushion. And what he said is it actually decreases his stress because he can push things off because he knows he's got a buffer day coming. And so I'd highly encourage you guys, take a look at your calendars and say, okay, schedule right now, what are going to be my free days? What are going to be my focus days? Where are my buffer days going to be? And try to at least, you know, at this point, at least go for a month. Look out a month and say, okay, which ones are free days, buffer days, and focus days, and schedule those. I'm trying to keep this concise and short, but at the same time, I want to get this all out to you. Let's see here. The other thing they talked about was be 100% in charge, but with no control. Give control to others. And I thought, wow, that's kind of crazy. But what I've seen recently, and recently literally being the last, today's Friday before Christmas, started on Monday, we brought James Friel in the office. James is amazing at systems and operations. And again, I did a podcast a long time ago with him if you want to go check that out. But his whole thing is creating systems. And I know Russell's going to do a podcast on this later as far as the whole bat signal type of stuff. So I'm not going to talk about that. But I do want to express to you what has happened here literally in the last 2 or 3 days is, so what we're seeing is Russell's 100% in charge, but he's pushing control out to other people. And by doing that, it's increased his creativity, which seems next to impossible to do, but it has. And it's allowed him to take off some of the gas in one area and apply it to his unique ability, which is actually accelerating things even faster for us. So I'd really encourage you to take a look at how can you be 100% in charge with no control, and how can you give control to other people? Dean Graziosi was there. One of my favorite things he talked about was understand that irritated oysters make pearls. And I'll leave on this note here. His whole idea behind it is you have to understand that you get so frustrated at times. You think, gosh, nothing's working. It's not going the way I want it to go. Realize that those little irritations inside of the oyster, that's what makes the pearl. And for you guys, I promise you, if those of you guys who are listening to this, realize that the little irritations that you're focusing on and that you're wrapping your brain around and you're trying to get control over, that irritation literally becomes the pearl that's going to be a massive value to you. So with all that said, have an amazing 2018. I look forward to connecting with you guys, hopefully at Funnel Hacking Live, if not sooner. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dream car and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.